Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
One of the funny things about this time of the year is that I always feel really sad whenever the kids are going back to school. So here in Belfast this week, my kids went back to school, everyone's kids went back to school. And it's funny, I always have this reaction, right, where I go, I feel like this sadness because I really didn't like school when I was a kid. I found it, that was okay. The work wasn't difficult, but I just found the whole thing not really great. And so I always have this kind of sense of, oh no, it's back to school. And then I have to remind myself that I'm 35 and I'm not going back to school. And so the thing is, right, I was walking back one of the mornings this week when all the wee ones had just gone back. So P1, so this wee fella must have been four, and I was walking past the school that's really close to our house. It's a junior school. And I just noticed as I was walking past the fence, it was absolutely hilarious. There was a wee lad who obviously, he was only really tiny, wee blonde thing. And he was doing an absolute runner. Now school had started, but he had obviously just thought, nah, this ain't for me. And he had got himself out of the classroom, clearly, and was running. I mean, Linford Christie wouldn't have caught him, right? Running across the playground. And so I was watching, and then there was a teacher who had obviously come out trying to be all sort of proper, you know, sort of walking really, really fast, but not running, and just calling the wee fella's name. And he had his lunchbox under one arm, his coat over his shoulder, and he just kept looking behind, and he was running for the gate as quick as he could. And I found myself standing at the fence, holding on, going, run, run, they can't take your freedom. And I didn't actually do that, but inside I was willing him on. I was going, go on, wee man, run for your life, run for your life, get out of it while you can. And it made me chuckle all day, because I just thought, you know, he's obviously gone in, and literally it was like 9:05, he's obviously thought to himself, nah, you're all right. I'm going here. I'm making a break for freedom. And so freedom for him was the gate. And he was running with all that he had towards that gate with his new teacher probably swearing under her mouth, just going, oh my goodness, I've got to catch this wee fella. I don't know how it ended up because I had to cross the road, but part of me was just willing him on. And it made me think, actually, what we do is we run towards things that look like freedom. That's the point I want to make. And as I start into September, I'm beginning today to bring a word which I think is a word in season, not just for you and for our church, but actually for people who know Jesus and want to have a deeper experience of Jesus and want to thrive and do well in the next season that we're in. Because, you know, all of us have this thing on the inside of us where we want to be free. We were made for freedom. And you know, just like that wee fella this week, God love him, he was just, you know, bolting for the gate and with all that he had, you know, and not only looking back once, but just so focused on where he was going. You know, there's something on the inside of us that we gravitate towards freedom. And, you know, when you look at the future right now, it's so full of uncertainty. So we have this desire for freedom that we're going to gravitate towards, and we're going to gravitate towards those things that we think are going to make us free. But we're the context that we're living in is a world which is really uncertain and really ambiguous. You know, the world is dark. That's the truth. And one of the things I believe in this season that the Lord is saying to you is that you don't need to worry about darkness, because when the world gets darker, the light gets brighter. And that is the hope that we have. You know, Christians who are running around in fear today, and, you know, I'm not knocking it, but I'm saying, come on. This is the word that I believe the Lord wants to bring to you over these next few weeks to really set you up in faith for the next season, is that darkness is not our focus. Because wherever there is darkness, all you have to do is switch on the light. And Jesus talks about being the light. And so don't worry if things are really dark around you, if you're worried about your future this morning, if you're looking forward and going, what is it going to be? My great encouragement for you is this, is that the darker it seems, the brighter Jesus shines. And so it's a really important thing to grasp this morning, I guess, is that there is freedom for you in this new season. There is life for you in this new season. There's healing and restoration and fulfillment and blessing for you in this next season. And there's something that I believe the Lord is saying to you that I want to unpack in this series. And so I'm going to call this series, Who Do You Say I Am? And I'm going to base it in the book of John, but today what I'm going to do is I'm going to start this series, which is going to explore this interaction that Jesus has at a really important point of his ministry, and particularly his ministry with the disciples. And what he's going to do, he's going to set them up. And so what I really hope that you understand today is that the Lord is always trying to set you up for what is to come. So whenever he's speaking to you today, as you listen to me, what he's trying to do is he's trying to set you up for the next season. He doesn't wait until the waves are crashing over your head. If they are crashing over your head, he's good to save and deliver you. But what he does as we walk close with him is he starts to speak and to minister and to build into us all that is needed to overcome. And bear in mind, he's already in your future. He's already gone before you to prepare goodness and blessing, to prepare fullness for you. But he's also building in you today what you're going to need to overcome the challenges as you walk into the promise. I was listening to this week to a song which has just been really ministering to me by Kim Walker Smith and from Jesus Culture, and it's called Protector. And we're going to be doing it here in church in the next number of weeks. But if you haven't listened to it, go and listen. And what some of the words that really struck me were in the second verse, I think it is, she sings, "I come into agreement with the truth that you are who you say you are. You are, I can trust your heart. I come into agreement with what heaven has declared over my life, because I know that you fight for me." And when I was listening to that this week, the Lord really started to speak to me. And in my own reading from the Word and then listening to this song, and the Lord really started to speak to me to go, what are you coming into agreement with? In this season of where it's really ambiguous, in this season where things are not certain, what are you in alignment with and what are you agreeing with? Because everything inside you is going to search for freedom, is going to search for peace, but you have to be aligned and you have to come into agreement first and foremost, above all, with who Jesus is and what he says. And so this question, who do you say I am, is a question that Jesus asked the disciples. And do you know what I think, folks? I think he's asking you and me that today. I think he's wanting to go a level deeper in your life. He wants to go to a level that you haven't been to before, where the question of who do you say I am is not just like a quick response or a kind of ethereal conversation, but it is a deep heart transformation where you experience more grace and more fullness and more love and are prepared to overcome in every challenge in the next weeks and months that lie in front of us. So that's what I'm going to talk to you today about. So open your heart this morning to the Lord, because there's grace for you this morning. There's hope for you this morning. When the word comes, remember, when the Lord sends his word, it heals you and it delivers you from all affliction. And so this morning in faith, why don't you say, Spirit of the Lord, in faith, I receive your word today. I receive what you're saying to me. And I thank you that you are prophetically speaking into my life right now for what is to come. And Lord, you are leading me by still waters. You help me to lie down and lead me from glory to glory. So I want to live in that place. So I receive your word today. So if we think about this question, right, who do you say I am? It's probably more complicated than what it might seem on the surface. You know, any good sort of Christian who's been around the place for more than 35 seconds, if you say, well, who's Jesus? You know, you're going to give me all the right theological answers. Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King, Jesus is God, and all of that sort of stuff, right? And those things are all absolutely right. At this point in our lives, though, I think the Lord is trying to slow us down to really speak into us and go, like, who do you really say I am? Not just what comes off your tongue really quickly, or not what's the right answer, but in the day to day, in the minutiae and the detail of your life, in your heart and in your soul, who do you say I am? Because remember, you're going to be running for freedom, and you've got to align with him to really get freedom. You've got to come into agreement with who he says he is. And so he asks you the question, if you want freedom, who do you say I am? And that's not something we can just answer very quickly. You know, if you ask people in the world today, they'd probably say, oh, Jesus, don't know, he's a prophet, he's a moral teacher, he was a magician, he was a heretic, you know, he's the son of God, he's the king of kings. You're going to get the whole range of the answers. But today, I'm going to start to unpack what Jesus was talking about. Now, where does this come up? There's three out of the four Gospels. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to help you to actually understand your Bible a bit better as well. So one of the things I'd really encourage you to do, if you don't do it and you're just sitting, lying in your bed this morning watching me or whatever, if you're up and about, get a pen and a notepad and just write stuff down that comes to your mind or stick it into your phone, because it's good to really learn what the word means and what the word says. So who do you say I am? When Jesus is having this discourse, I'm going to explain it in a minute, it's in three places. You find it in Matthew 16, Mark 8, and in Luke 9. And in all three accounts, what happens is Jesus first says to the disciples, he asks them, you know, who do the people say that I am? You know, or what are the crowds? In Luke, I think it's, who do the crowds say that I am? Now, the disciples hear that, and what they do is they give the pat answer. They say, well, you know, in Matthew 16, it says, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Now, and in Luke 9, it goes on to say, and others say that you're a prophet who came from long ago. Now, Jesus hears this, and he kind of goes, no, you haven't understood it. You haven't really got it. He goes, what about you? Who do you say I am? So if the crowd, if the crowd says this thing, what do you say? Now, Jesus often does this when you read, and he does it with you and me. He asks us questions which are deep and are profound and go to the heart of the issue. And he asks us those questions in order to make us think. Often you'll see Jesus, what he would do is he would answer a question with a question, leading people to find an answer. And in saying things out loud, you know, many times they're able to find solutions and think about situations, and they're led to think differently. So first of all, Jesus asks this, what do the others say about me? And they respond easily enough. They kind of speculate, but then he turns the question, right? And what he's saying is this, you know, okay, they say this, but what do you say? And what he's actually saying is what the world thinks doesn't matter anymore. The mentality of the crowd is irrelevant. Now, listen to me this morning. I absolutely believe that God has gifted us in the world today with incredible teachers. You know, we love the ministry of Pastor Joseph Prince in Singapore. You know, even the message of God's grace that comes from our own church here in Exchange with all the people who teach. There is an amazing amount of stuff available today that is, you know, at the touch of a button, you can go and you can get any amount of information and teaching about the Lord. And I am really, really grateful for it. But there comes a point, and I think this is what the Lord is saying to you and to me today. And I think this is a prophetic statement. Who do you say I am? He's looking at you this morning and he's going, in one sense, whatever that pastor says or that ministry says, in one sense, that's irrelevant. And I'm going to show you why. Because he wants you to grow and to claim Jesus's identity as your own. That's what he's trying to do with the disciples. He says, it's time now to grow up for what I have for you in the future. Now listen to me. You have a God-given purpose this morning. You have a God-given call on your life. You have a great future in front of you. It is not just about lying back and you know, getting through life. You are called by the Lord this morning to be a vessel and a channel of his amazing grace, to take this finished work of Jesus and to see the world transformed by grace. And at Jesus, at this point, he's almost going to have this conversation where he's going to move them to a deeper level. And so he says, so who do you say I am? Because what he's wanting is, for the first time, he wants them not to be, you know, just taking on what everyone else has said, right? And look, what some of those other people were saying was good. But I'm going to show you as we go through this this series how, you know, Jesus takes all of the Jewish tradition and he points it all back to himself. It's really brilliant. You're going to enjoy it. But what he's saying is, I need you to get your identity, Jesus's identity, for yourself. It needs to be yours. It needs to be deep on the inside of you. It needs to be your experience, not what somebody else says. Now, what somebody else says is good, but you can't live off that revelation, particularly when things get tough. What should that does is plant a seed in your heart, but then it's between you and the Lord that you, in the stuff of life where you really work out, who do you say I am? Now, Peter has a brilliant response. And there's this moment, right, where in Matthew 16, Peter replies and he goes, you're the Messiah. I'm going to talk about that probably next week for the most part. The Son of the Living God. Now, Jesus' response to this is really interesting. If you're reading in Mark and Luke, you just read that Jesus continues on to talk about his death and his suffering. But in Matthew 16, 17 through 19, he starts to give a little bit more insight. And so he replies, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood." Now listen to me. "This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, so listen to me for one moment. When we go back to those verses, what we see is Jesus going, "This is it, you've got it. You're starting to really grow and really mature in understanding who I am." Because he said, whenever Simon Peter has this response, right? And he says, "No, hold on, you are the one who we have longed for, prayed for, the one who would save us and deliver us from all of sin, all of the stuff that we have been enslaved by and set us free. You are that Messiah." And Jesus says, there's this. So Simon, it's almost like Simon Peter in this moment has something that goes on in him. Right? Now, remember what he is called for. I mean, when you look at Peter and what he does, all the way through the book of Acts, him and Paul, like, they are full on. And I believe that it was moments like this that were the foundation stones for what he would go and achieve in the rest of his days. And here's what the Lord says. "See that thing that just happened in your heart there, Peter? That thing that just shifted? You didn't hear that from somebody else. That was not flesh and blood that told you that. That was God himself moving in your heart. Now, from that place," and then Jesus starts to unpack, "there is power for you, there is purpose for you, there is future for you." But do you see what happened? It was from the revelation moment of "you are the Messiah." And I think for many of us, the Lord is trying to say in this season, okay, if I could speak really frankly with you, you know, this is a season where the Lord wants to show you and lead you deep in your own experience who he is. And it won't be because necessarily you just hear it from somebody else and somebody else's revelation. And, you know, I'm not knocking books and reading books. I'm really not. I think it's a really good thing, because when you hear the word of God, that's where faith comes from. But there is no substitution, actually, for your relationship with Jesus and those moments in your heart, right? Where without a shadow of a doubt, it's not that anyone said it to you or you read it somewhere and you thought it was great, all right? But that moment where the Lord speaks and your heart shifts, that's what happened here. And so Peter has this revelation of, "Oh my goodness, you are the one." And that is going to be something that he relies on, he depends on, because in that moment, like I said, that after those revelation moments, which are God in you, where you're aligning with everything that who he is, what he's for, what he's come for, you know, the position that he holds, everything about Jesus, as you align with that and you come into agreement with it, from that place, there is purpose, there is power, there is future, there is everything that you're longing for. That's what happens with Peter. But it didn't come from flesh and blood. It came from the Lord. Does that make sense to you this morning? And so I think that when Peter says this, right, it shows you just the incredible, incredible things that God can do in those moments in our lives when we see this revelation of Jesus. So we have to align. We have to come into agreement with who he says he is. And so one of the interesting things to look about at this story is what was going on around this at the time whenever Jesus, why does Jesus bring up this question at this point, is probably the way I was thinking about it when I was preparing this week. Now, in all three accounts that we see of this story, Jesus' exchange with his disciples is recorded shortly after the feeding of the 4,000. And in Luke, it's actually after the feeding of the 5,000. Now, think about this. Jesus has traveled all over the shop. He has been teaching. He has healed people. He has forgiven sins. He has walked on water, he has driven out demons, and he's even raised the dead. It's been full-on ministry. Now, the disciples had been with him that whole time, and they had seen all of those miracles. They had witnessed them firsthand. They had worked with the people, kept the crowds back, brought the kids to him. They had been following Jesus around him in his presence for some period of time. They had actually also been even sent out in his name. They had preached the repentance message. They had been used in healing and casting out demons. Or they come back and say, Lord, this is amazing. You know, in your name, all this stuff happens. So they'd been all around it. And even in the middle of that, here's what's interesting. Seeing all of that stuff going on, which I think most of us would go, I would settle for even half of that. But still in the middle of it, it was in that context that Jesus asked them, but who do you say I am? Who am I to you? So I think what the Lord is saying, all right, and you need to weigh and test this for yourself this morning, but I think what the Lord is saying to us right now in this new season, prophetically, is he's saying, I want you to know more about who I am, and I want you to come into agreement with that, because from that place, there is power, authority, purpose, and future. You're going to look for freedom somewhere, so you have to align. If you want real freedom, you're going to have to align with this truth of who Jesus is. Now, so the disciples, you see, then are starting to kind of understand. Simon Peter's starting to move towards this understanding of who Jesus is. Now, it's interesting, he says, you are the Messiah. And I want to talk a little bit more about this into next week. But this was, as you know, it was completely misunderstood. And it wasn't just misunderstood in, you know, we kind of, most of us have heard it. If you've been around the church for 5 minutes, you know, that we know that the people at the time expected the Messiah to be a military leader. That's not news to any of us. But actually, it's way more than that. So their expectation of what Messiah would be is actually at levels deeper. And I want to go into that so that you get a real understanding of just how far Peter shifted in that moment. It wasn't just a, oh yeah, you're Messiah. It was like there was a deep-seated shift in him. Now, it's interesting that, you know, they're looking for the deliverance from Roman rule, which we understand. They're looking for the king who would come on the horse and beat the Romans around the head and get rid of them. And, you know, Jesus actually, in this interaction, that he, after Peter's confession, you are the Messiah, Jesus says, look, don't tell anyone that, all right? Because people are going to misunderstand. It's almost like Jesus going, don't go down that road just yet, because people are not going to get it. Because this is not, if you just think this is about exchanging earthly rule, you've got it really badly wrong. I think that's what the Lord's saying. It's almost like, if you just think this is about, what would that look like for us today? If you think this gospel of grace is just about changing things on the outside of you, then you haven't got it. What the Lord wants to show you is this is so much deeper, so much more profound, it's so much more impactful, and has so much more riding on the back of it, if you like, than simply making our external worlds much more comfortable. It's much more than that. There is deep purpose in here. There is deep calling in here. There is deep experience of the grace of God, which the Lord is trying to set them up and lead them into. And so this was not outside-in change. So whenever we talk about Messiah, and you know, Peter, the Lord was saying to Peter, look, don't boil this down to simply your external circumstances changing. Actually, Messiah goes right back to the garden, goes right back to Genesis, to the beginning. And what the Lord was saying is, I'm going to go right back to the very beginning, to the absolute heart of the human condition. This is not going to be about just getting rid of the Romans out of the promised land. This is going to be about restoring the whole of mankind right back to the place where they should be. And it's interesting that it's almost the Lord going, you've started to move on the journey, but I've got so much more to show you. And so the encouragement for you this morning is to go, what the Lord wants to do in you is so much deeper and so much more beautiful, and there's so much more to it in this work of grace than we haven't even imagined yet. We haven't even seen it or thought about how incredible the journey is that God has you on, and he's going to lead you into it. But he's starting with, well, but let's just align with who do you say I am? Actually, at the end of the book of John, which I'm going to start into next week, in verse chapter 23, verse 31, it says that all of these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is what? He's the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So is this understanding and coming into you are Messiah. Who do you say I am? Well, you're the Messiah. And from that place, you believe and you have life. Now, there is loads and loads and loads of really cool stuff in this. And when we start to look at the book of John, what we're going to see is that Jesus is revealing himself in all these different ways. And that's where I believe the Lord is saying, you know, as we look at what the religious people were trying to achieve and then how Jesus then reveals himself in some of the stories and through the book, you're going to be amazed and be able to say, I'm starting to see who you really are. It's interesting, just to give you an idea, in John chapter 1, from 19, verses 19 through to 51, as people encounter Jesus, Jesus encounters John the Baptist, and then all the people who encounter Jesus in those verses, this is just in the first chapter, they all say who they think he is. And so John is starting to, you know, the book of John really answers this question, who do you say I am? Because it's Jesus doing it for us. And so they use seven names. Now, any of you who know anything about your Bible numbers will know that seven is the number of perfection or completion. And so in the first chapter of John, what you see is he's called the King of Israel. He's called Rabbi. He's called the Lamb of God. He's called the Son of Man, Jesus of Nazareth, Son of God, and Messiah. Seven titles given to him by people. And what happens is then, you know, if I was to summarize that, what we see is that it's like almost saying like Jesus is fully human, the Messianic King and the teacher of Israel. He's the Son of God who will die for the sins of the world. And so at the beginning of this book, what we see is Jesus saying, I'm not just going to say, who do you say I am? And you've got to make it up. I'm going to show you. And so everything he does through the book is to demonstrate and to bring into line and bring into agreement, help people come into agreement with who he has always been revealed to be. And so you see all of these names and titles given to him. And so, and then he starts to live into those. And the people, and here's what's really interesting, right? As you look at who Jesus, you know, when we say, when we think about Jesus revealing himself, we kind of go, we think that everyone's going to be delighted about it. What you find, and you're going to have to check this in your own heart, is when Jesus reveals who he is, the religious bit of it drives us nuts. We have a religious reaction sometimes to who Jesus reveals himself to be. Why? Because it cuts right to the core. It cuts right to the quick, as we would say here in Belfast. And so I'm going to encourage you around that to go, in this season, this is about a season of deepening. The Lord's saying to you, I'm going to show you a new level and a new depth to who I am. Who I am to you, but not just to you, but for the purpose for which I've called you. You're going to understand him better and understand yourself better in the light of it. But there's, I believe in this season for a repurposing. I believe as the Lord comes to you in this season, as we talk our way through this at church, that the Lord is going to speak to you. And not only are you going to experience more grace upon grace, but you're going to find yourself repurposed, re-energized and refocused for what he has called you for. Because that's what he is doing. And so isn't it incredible to know that whatever you think God has done in your life up until now, it's only just the beginning. Wherever you think you've been, whatever you think you have seen of the Lord, this is just the start. There is grace for you. There is hope for you. There is love for you. There is healing for you. There is everything and more that you could ever hope or dream for. And on top of that, there is an incredible purpose and call from God on your life that you can see your family, your colleagues, your street, your place of work, your whole city, this whole nation transformed by the grace of God. It goes that deep. That's what Jesus is trying to say. This is not just something on the outside. This is something deep on the inside. So my last word to you today is this, okay? Think and pray this week and say, Lord, I know that you want to show me more of who you are. I know that you have freedom for me. I know that you have life for me. So Lord, my heart is open. Speak to me and show me and reveal to me who you are in a way that I've never seen before. Lord, not just what I hear from other people, but Lord, show me, you meet with me and you show me and you shift my heart, because that is what I'm going to stand on and believe for. Those moments where my heart is deepened, my love grows, and it's not what flesh and blood have told me, but it's what you did in me. And so, Lord, I receive that today. In Jesus' name, amen.